How do you feel when someone provides something for you? Grateful? Thankful? What do you do when they cover everything you need? What's your response? Not just how you feel, how do you respond? You tell them that you're loved? I like that. Oh, you give love to others. That is, when we're blessed, we are blessed only to be a blessing. That's right. Very good. What happens when they offer to cover all your needs, but it may not be necessarily what you want? What happens then? Do you feel grateful, thankful, and loved? Do you then pass the blessing on? There's actually a story in this week's Parsha that highlights that very sentiment. And Aaron did a wonderful job highlighting the Parsha for us. In Numbers chapter 11, it says that the riffraff that were in the midst of Israel felt a gluttonous craving. And then the Israelites wept and said, notice that the riffraff had this few, the small group had an infectious impact on the entire community. The riffraff felt a craving, and it caused all Israel to weep and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish that we used to eat free in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Now our gullets are shriveled. There is nothing at all. Nothing but this manna to look at." Notice how they respond. First of all, what was the manna? The text goes on to describe what manna was. And it makes it sound like this delicious fare that God gave them. It says the manna was like coriander seed in color. It was white. They would go out and gather it and grind it between millstones or pound it in a mortar, boil it in a pan, or bake it into cakes. It tasted like rich cream. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would come upon it. So here's this stuff that's delicious. It's flavorful. It's easy to fix. It's readily available. It's pretty. It tastes good. You can fix it in a variety of ways. We're told in that paragraph, you could cook it. You could boil it. You could bake it into cakes. See how versatile manna was? But the crowd starts weeping and crying, "We want meat to eat." There are only days from Mount Sinai. Having left Mount Sinai, 3 days, and they're already complaining, as Aaron beautifully pointed out. "We have nothing at all." How can they say that? They have the very presence of God. They have the blessing of God. They have what God has provided. But they say, there is nothing. Nothing but this manna to look at. So they respond by saying, because of this, our souls are shriveled. The translation that I have here, the JPS says, our gullets are shriveled. Another version says, we've lost our appetites. The Hebrew literally reads, our souls are dry. Our souls are dry. In fact, that Hebrew word for dry is the same Hebrew verb that is used in Israel for dry cleaning or a hair dryer. It's the same word that's also sometimes translated withered. like when a hand is paralyzed. It's the Hebrew word, modern Hebrew word, the idea of being paralyzed, unable to move, withered. This is how they feel about their lives. Not just their stomachs, not just their appetites, but their lives. Our souls are shriveled and dry and weird and withered. It reminds me of the story that Messiah told in Mark 4 when he talked about some of the seed that would fall along the ground. Some would fall on rocky places and it would take root a little bit, but then when the sun came, it would be scorched and it would wither and die. And when Yeshua explains the parable, he said, it's like when people receive with joy, receive the blessing of God, the Devar Adonai with joy, but yet when times of testing come, or persecution, or trouble, the seed that has planted withers. Yeshua uses this idea of a withering heart. Their hearts wither when the word that has taken root is then rejected. In John chapter 6, he tells a story about Yeshua, that is, we have a story about how he fed 5,000 people. And afterwards, the people come to him and they say, we want more bread. And he says, well, God has sent. He sent bread from heaven for the people in the wilderness. And they say, oh, we want that bread. And Yeshua says, well, what you do to get that bread is you have to work in order to get that bread. And they said, well, what work do we have to do? And he says, the work that you have to do is to believe on the one that the Father has sent. They respond, they get it all mixed up. They hear him talking about work and they apply it to him. He just said, the work that you must do is to believe, to trust. But they turn it around and say, oh, well, while we're talking about works and signs, why don't you do one for us? He's just fed 5,000 people. And they want more free lunches. They weren't satisfied with the blessing that God had given them. Yeshua says, it says some of the Judeans started to grumble. Do we recognize that word from the Torah portion? Some of the Judeans started to grumble because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, isn't this Yeshua, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I've come down from heaven? He had told them the story of how out of heaven God had sent manna to eat. And he said, I tell you, it wasn't Moses that gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one coming down from heaven and giving life to the world. And they said, again, we want that free lunch. We want that blessing. We'll crave that. And they said, give us this bread from now on. Yeshua said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It reminds me of Isaiah 55. Come to me, all you who are thirsty. Come, eat for free. God's blessings are rich. God's goodness is sure. The manna tasted like sweet cream. Sounds like a nice ice cream to me. I do too. Yeshua goes on, he says, "But I told you that you have seen me, but you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone coming to me I will never reject. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. Now this is the will of the one who sent me, that I will lose not one of all he has given me, but raise each one up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and trusts in him may have life eternal, and I will raise him up on the last day." What was the issue? The issue was the same thing that Moses was dealing with in the wilderness. They had God's provision. There, the Judean leadership had Yeshua, the bread of life, the manna of God, right there in their midst. But yet, there was a desire for something more, a desire for something different, a desire not for the blessings that come from the Most High, but something that it's amazing that God gave them in the wilderness in Numbers 11. He gave them the quail. I think it's personally kind of funny that he gave it to them for a whole month. He said, you're not just going to have, read the text. It says, you're not just going to have this one day or 2 days or a week. You're going to have it a month. I'm going to give you what you want, and you're going to learn that the blessings that God gives are the ones that lead to life. Yeshua says, I am the manna. I am the manna. When we read about manna in the wilderness, remember we are talking about the richness, the sweetness, the daily provision that is available in our Messiah, Yeshua. Yeshua is the bread from heaven. When we pursue something other than Yeshua, if we're pursuing merely what Yeshua can provide, we are not walking in trust. Only when we pursue Yeshua himself is that trust. Only when we pursue Yeshua himself is that faith. Only when we pursue Yeshua himself are we partaking of the blessings that God wants to give us. When we reject the blessing that God has given us, like Yeshua, we are rejecting the Most High himself. Listen to what God told Moses in Numbers 11, verse 20. God told Moses, "For Israel has rejected the Lord who is among you." Rejecting God's gifts and blessings, that is Yeshua, is to reject the Most High himself. Whoever has seen Yeshua has seen the Father. Yeshua and the Father are one. Echad. So God tells Moses to tell the people, you have rejected the Lord who is among you. Earlier we sang a song, whom have I in heaven but you? There is none I desire beside you. Do we mean it when we sing that song? There's none I desire beside you. It's a beautiful commentary on this week's Torah portion. It's a beautiful commentary on those who received the food, the 5,000 who were fed, that still wanted more free lunches. And when Yeshua tried to teach them about the greater meaning of what he had just done, they couldn't handle it. They just wanted more free food. Like Israel in the wilderness wanted different variety. They wanted something different. God's blessing, the richness of God was not enough. May we have the heart of of Yeshua. May we recognize that He is our sustenance. He is our bread. He is our life. He is our provision. So that we can sing that song, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" And we can sing and recognize the richness, the goodness, the provision, the blessing that we have in Yeshua, the bread of life, the bread that has come down for us. We do not live on quail alone, but on the Word of God that He has given us. The Word made flesh for our lives.